Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Live streaming provided by Alpha Geek Radio and Alpha Geek Video. Visit tunein.alphageekradio.com to learn more.
Well, everyone, we have finally made it to Finally Friday. And this episode of Finally Friday is being brought to you by Major Spoilers VIPs from around the world. It's because of their fantastic contributions in making everything happen at Major Spoilers that we're bringing this show to you. And hello, everyone. It is Steven Schleicher here with you on this Finally Friday. And we've got a lot to talk about, but probably the most important thing that we're going to talk about is what is on your mind. So what I need you to do is pick up your phones and call 785-727-1939. That's 785-727-1939. Whatever you want to talk about this week. I don't have any guests. Ashley had a meeting in relation to her big news last week that we talked about both on this show and on the Major Spoilers podcast. And I want to thank everyone who sent in some very positive comments about the interview that we did with the Andrew at Nerdstrong Gym. I'm glad everybody got a kick out of that, and I'm so glad that there are so many of you who've been responding over in the podcast posting page about your exercise regime or what it takes for you to get into exercise. That, of course, led into a discussion of gamification, and I'm going to let you know right now that I had another fantastic conversation today that you will hear next Tuesday/Wednesday on the Major Spoilers podcast about gamification and some of the pros and cons of it, and we even talk a little bit about how comic shops can gamify their experience to get more people into the store. So it's going to be a great week at Major Spoilers. Of course, we've got a brand new critical hit coming out this weekend that I know a lot of you are waiting for. Some big reveals coming up then. And you know what? It's going to get even crazier. We recorded a session this past Wednesday, which is the last session that we'll have for about a month as we do some juggling around of schedules. But then we'll pick back up for another 3 or 4 months. And I'm going to bet that by the time we hit January, we will have shows already in the can clear through May is my hope, May or June. And ideally, I would love to have us have stuff in place all the way through Nerdtacular of 2016. That's some high hoping, I know, but I like to plan things far enough in advance so that you don't have a break in your entertainment schedule. And regardless whether cats are in the room or not today, we want to talk to you about what's on your mind. So 785-727-1939, that's the number that you want to call. Or if you are on Skype, you can give me a call at Steven_Schleicher. I've got the chat room up, or at least the chat from our YouTube channel where this is streaming out right now. If you're on Alpha Geek Radio, hello, and thank you to Todd and everybody over at Alpha Geek Radio and Alpha Geek Video for allowing us to get on and share our love of comic books and pop culture with you. And it looks like they hit their Kickstarter campaign, I think it was a Kickstarter campaign. Good job on those guys. And that means that they'll be able to get even more stuff out to everyone throughout the world. And I'm going to ask the cat to now leave. Go away, Mojo. Please, because he just wants some affection and attention this afternoon. So Matthew is there. Nate is there. Jarmo is there. And Justin is there. I don't know if I've seen you before in the chat, Justin, but if this is your first time, hello. And if this is your first time watching for anybody, hello. Please give us a call and point us in the direction that you want to go this week. So there are a couple of things that we have left over from last week that we didn't get to talk about. Patrick Stewart's going to reprise his role of Professor X in the next Wolverine movie. He says, quote, "I think what you say is true. There's a project in development. I understand Professor Xavier will be making more than an appearance, however, and that intrigues me. And the idea of an old Wolverine, I'm really looking forward to Hugh Jackman getting old. You know, damn him. He looks so great, so I'm hoping to see him covered in prosthetics, and then he'll make me look better if that is the case. That's something that Patrick Stewart had said a while ago. The Wolverine is expected to arrive in theaters on March 3rd, 2017, although we do know that as schedules get moved around and other movies get announced, studios may do some last-minute shuffling to get things out of the way. Also, Dr. Light is coming to The Flash, the television series The Flash. So you're going to see a whole bunch of comic book characters appear in this next season, even probably more so than we saw this year. We've got Dr. Light coming, and we find out in the season opener of season two that Dr. Light is now working at Star Labs with Cisco and Caitlin. We know that Jay Garrick and Wally West will be showing up this season, or Kid Flash in some incarnation. We know Atom Smasher. We know, I forget, there was a couple of others that were announced. So I cannot wait to see what they have planned for us. And we know that Zoom is going to be the big bad in this next season as well. I'm really looking forward to, I don't know if you are, but I'm really looking forward to what they're going to do with the Flash of Two Worlds. And if we're really going to see a whole multiverse open up inside that television show, because I think it leads to all sorts of potential and all sorts of possibilities if the network really wants to push things the way that they really could on television and do some fantastic storytelling in that case. I'm sorry, Mojo, you're going to have to leave, please. Go on. He knows when I grab a sheet of paper and toss it at him, it's time for him to go. He doesn't like loud noises or loud papers being shuffled at him. He's giving me a bad look, which means I probably ought to check my shoe before I put it on later and go pick up the kids. Yeah, he's not too happy about that. Anyway, it's been a great week at Major Spoilers. We've done some very cool podcast recordings this week. We have had some very interesting stories pop up on the website. I don't know which one is your favorite story this week, but let's switch over there and see what we got. There are some interesting things coming up. There's a brand new book from Inside Editions that I thought was really cool. If you're into Star Trek costumes, there's a whole book coming out in October about that. We've got the last issue of Witchblade coming down the pipe. There's word that Mockingbird is going to get her own series, or at least a pilot has been ordered at ABC to see where that goes. And then, of course, if you're going to the New York Comic Con in October, I believe is when that is, you're going to get to see a sneak peek of Star Wars Rebels Season 2. And I know we're coming off this D23 high of all the Star Wars news, but I would say probably within the last month or so, maybe even longer than the last month, it seems like the Star Wars PR machine is really starting to crank out and crank up into high gear. And I think even though we're not seeing a lot of new trailers like we have in a lot of the Marvel movies, even though we're not seeing the toys hitting the stores yet, but those will start hitting the stores within the next month or so, I feel like the PR engine is just starting to crank up and we're getting more Star Wars news than we expected. And I have a feeling that by December, we're going to be so overwhelmed with Star Wars stuff that it may end up actually turning off a lot of people. So I'm kind of glad that Lucasfilm and Disney are kind of holding back on a lot of their big stuff, but instead allowing things like, hey, here's what the age range for Han Solo in the next Star Wars Solo movie will be. Here's some information about the two Star Wars lands at Disneyland and Disney World are going to kind of feel like. I'm kind of glad that they're giving it out in little bits and pieces, but it seems like almost every day now we're getting Star Wars news. I'm excited about it, but I have a feeling that some people might get a little tired by the time December rolls around. And then, of course, the other thing that's big for me that I'm looking forward to, at least in October, I know it's a little ways away yet, but the season of Ash versus Evil Dead, it kicks off October 31st on the Starz Network. That is Saturday night. Bruce Campbell reprises his role as Ashley Williams, and he's out to kill. So, well, actually, he doesn't want to kill Deadites, but he gets wrapped up in it anyway. He will be joined by Lucy Lawless, and who believes that Ash is the cause of all the evil outbreaks. Ray Santiago, who you know from Meet the Fockers as Pablo Simon Bolivar, an idealistic immigrant who becomes Ash's loyal sidekick. And then Dana DeLorenzo, that you know from A Very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas as Kelly Maxwell, a moody, wild child trying to outrun her past, and Jill Marie Jones from Sleepy Hollow as Amanda Fisher, a disgraced Michigan State trooper set to find the anti-hero Ash and prove his responsibility in the grisly murder of her partner. It's a 10-episode series that kicks off in October. It's really right now. I have to double check and see if there's a Stars app out there. But right now, it's the only reason why I'm keeping my cable for just a while longer, because I really want to see that show. And Ash versus Evil Dead should be really kind of cool, I think. Let's see. Oh, yeah. The Jarmo says, I really like how there's a strong Justice Society vibe in The Flash this season. That's something that I've said before, because we're really, if they do things right, even though the Justice League is now up on the big screen, and I think we're starting to see a lot of Justice Society stuff built up on the small screen. And if they could somehow work it right and get audiences to believe into this concept of the multiverse, then why not have television be your Earth 2 or Earth 4 or whatever that you want it to be, and the movie theaters be like Earth Prime or Earth Zero or something? They could have a lot of fun with this if they just went out and I don't want to say get the stick out of their butts, but sometimes it feels like these big entities need to just sit back and say, you know what, let's try something new. Let's try something different. And we saw with Jurassic World where it became very self-referential and very self-aware of itself and knew that it was just there as a money grab. And in fact, made that the key point of the movie as being a money grab in the movie and in the real world. That movie did so well for it, and audiences appreciated the fact that they were poking fun at themselves and not taking things too seriously. And I think if they did something like that in the movies and the television and had some crossovers between them, audiences would go nuts. Now, granted, you're going to have some people that don't get it. I mean, granted, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing okay, but it's not doing fantastic like it was before. But there is a TV show and a movie franchise that are tied really directly into one another, and I think that's really a positive move. Yeah, granted, you may not have the millions and millions of people watching every week, but there's enough people watching Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that we're getting a third season of Agent S.H.I.E.L.D., a second season of Agent Carter, and now possibly this Mockingbird pilot spinoff, which for some reason ABC is saying it's not a spinoff. Although here's how they worded it, which was really kind of funny. They said that insiders say that the series is not a spinoff per se, but rather an entirely new project solely focused on the two characters to continue their story. Well, if it starts in one show and then it goes on to be its own other show, even though it has its roots in the other one, it is a spinoff. And there have been some fantastic spinoffs over time that you may not be aware of. You look at Love American Style, which had a segment one time that featured these kids growing up in wherever it was, Michigan, Detroit, Ohio, wherever it was. That then became Happy Days. And inside Happy Days, we spun off, of course, Joni Loves Chachi that everybody knows. But Laverne and Shirley was a spinoff of Happy Days. Also, Mork and Mindy was a spinoff of Happy Days, where Robin Williams came down and visited Fonzie. And I don't know if Richie was involved in that, but definitely Fonzie came down and had interactions, or not Fonzie, Mork came down and had interactions with Fonzie, and audiences liked that enough to where it spun off into the Mork and Mindy TV show. So even though this pilot over at ABC for the, what's the name of this series called? It's called Marvel's Most Wanted. Even though Marvel's Most Wanted is not, they're not calling it a spinoff, it is a spinoff. So there you go. They say the TV adaptation of Mockingbird is terrible. The only thing that makes her Mockingbird is the name. So that's interesting. Hold on just a second. I'm getting an error here. I show the stream is going out, but I'm getting an error. Did you guys get an error? Hopefully you're still out there. There I am on the screen. Hello, me. So that's weird. Ugh, I didn't shave. I need to shave. 75727-1939. That's the number that I want you to call so we can talk about anything and everything, including why Mockingbird is such a terrible show. Adrian Pilecki, of course, was to play Wonder Woman in the TV series, but that got canceled pretty quick for a number of reasons. I don't know if it was because of the actress... was one of those reasons. I don't know. But give me a call. Let's chat about it. 785-727-1939. Who will be the first to call today? Will it be Nate O? Will it be Dr. Bradley Will? Will it be Matthew? Will it be whoever? Pick up that phone and give me a call right now. Looks and sounds fine to me. Okay, well, I don't know. Something happened over here where it said error. Does not compute. I wish I had some things to show off today. I really don't have a lot to show off today. Last week I had talked about Batman Flux. It did arrive. And this is really interesting because the Batman Flux game, which we haven't had a chance to play yet on Munchkin Land, one of the things that you know if you've played Flux, and Flux is so easy, right? The core concept of Flux is you've got some basic rules, and then you pick a card and you play a card is the basic rule. And then you can add on to those rules, and you can have some goals that you have to set and some actions that you can play that make it a little bit more complex, but you just basically you follow the rules. One of the rules that they have for a long time with Flux is that if you have a creeper, you can't win the game. However, in Batman Flux, the creepers are villains, such as this one, the Penguin, which gives you some things. And you can actually win the game if you have the right combination of creepers in your pile. But if you are trying to have a goal that is kind of on the good side, like something that's Batman or Robin related, you can't win the game if there's a creeper on the table. So it sounds a lot more complex than one of the previous Flux games that we've seen before. And I'm really looking forward to playing a Batman Flux in the near future. Let's go to our phone lines now. Who's this?
Hey, Steven. It's Nate O. How
are
you doing?
Hey, Nate. How are you today? Let me turn you up a little bit. I'm getting a little problem on one of our channels. So what's on your mind today, Nate?
Survived the first week of school.
Yeah, how was that? You have a one kid in high school for the first time?
Yep. First high schooler.
Is he a freshman, or do they do high school different at his school?
No, it's a freshman, ninth grade. So
okay.
He's ninth grade, and so luckily he's just down the street. It's kind of a little brutal for him, considering he has to wake up an hour early and ride his bike now, so...
Well, that's part of growing up, right?
That's what I tell him. It's actually kind of odd now because we got to wake him up. I'm up at 5 o'clock every morning anyway.
Uh huh.
So by the time now, it's just weird now because before 7 o'clock, everyone's up now. So it's different, but it's good. But everyone made it through the first week. So
excellent.
Everyone's doing good.
Excellent. So what are your big plans for the weekend?
I don't know.
I don't know what ours either. I know we have to shoot some more some more Lego videos this weekend. And then I am going to sit both of the kids down and I'm going to make them watch Star Wars A New Hope and see how well that goes. So.
With the auto commentary track that you guys did?
No, not with that. I want them to experience the movie first without the jackassery. And then perhaps in the future when they're a little older, we can get into that. But what else is on your mind today?
It's funny. I've been listening to the Otter or Bruce mm-hmm. Otter's podcast that he's been doing. And I've been going back and listening to stuff. So basically just freaking out with some of the stuff that he's been talking about, stuff like the one thing that was kind of interesting today was the theory of the simulation theory, basically what we are right now is a computer simulation.
Yeah. So if you remember on the Major Spoilers podcast a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about, or Rodrigo had mentioned something and I said, I have this conspiracy theory, not about time travel, but he had said something about, you know, when you look up in the sky, and I said, how the clouds look squared off a little bit. It's because of that theory of that we are inside of a computer simulation or we are inside the Matrix that is in itself somewhat creepy and spooky. And there's a couple of different theories on that. I don't know which one Bruce subscribes to, but one of them is that we are really inside a Matrix and we've disconnected ourselves from a quote unquote reality. And this is our reality now. We're all living inside the computer. Another theory is that there is a sentience inside of a computer system and we are all just ones and zeros inside that system.
Yeah, it was neat because in his podcast, he was talking about the guy that created the error correcting code,
mm-hmm.
and that they were able to find that out in the universe somewhere.
Right. Yeah, and that's the other thing,
so
is
it's just like
there's more and more evidence, and I guess it depends on how you're looking at it from the scientists that have kind of. I think IO9 has even written an article about this and not too long ago about that they are discovering more and more things that suggest that we are living inside of a program or a virtual reality.
Yeah, there was a movie that I watched that was kind of creepy. Mm-hmm. Once you figure out what it is, it was called Final Destination, but it's not mm-hmm. the weird death one. It was basically this, they built these planes and they were plastic or whatever, and this guy basically is a test pilot. He test pilots one, and next thing you know, he's in this room looking at this ashtray.
Okay.
And he doesn't know what's going on, and basically it's basically a whole interview process, and he's trying to figure out what's going on. He thinks he's a prisoner of war and all this other stuff, but I mean, spoiler alert, no one's seen it, but basically what it was is him entering heaven.
Oh, okay.
It was basically God interviewing him as a person going, okay, so, you know, how was it? What did you do? What did you think? What's
yeah.
going on? And one of the things he says, well, what if, you know, God was some, like, scientist guy that had universes and they were all petri dishes. And
yep.
He was trying to figure out which one, you know, bloomed the right way.
Yep, yep.
So it was, like, really, really freaky, so... So that's basically, I've been freaking out this week, so which was pretty cool.
Yeah, a lot of people have written about this, not just from the conspiracy theory side, but actual science side. Discovery News has some stories on this, and some others have stories on this that you can check out. So it's not necessarily a crackpot theory, but it is something that people have looked at over time and continue to look at, even though it may be out there on the fringe of normal science.
Cool. Actually, the other question I had for you is, uh-huh. okay, so I basically am not going to see Fantastic Four just because everything that happened.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to listen to the Zach on Film thing, but I'm
probably going to listen. You're probably going to listen
this weekend. I'm going to listen. I listen to everything. It's just you have so much. I don't have enough time to. There's not enough hours in the day.
No, I understand.
But do you think that was planned? Do you think that Sony or someone executive was like, let's make it fail so bad that Disney will beg to get it back from us?
Well, I don't think Disney's going to beg for anything. Disney, if Marvel Studios wants to get, or Disney wants to get access to the Fantastic Four back, there's two things that they can do. They can either pay a lot of money to 20th Century Fox to get it back, which I guess from maybe the way you're talking about could be that idea of begging that we'll pay you so that we can get this back so you stop screwing around with it.
Right.
Yeah. The other thing is they do what they did with Daredevil, and they just wait for the studio to screw up and not put a second movie into production or another movie into production. And then if they don't do it within the certain time period, the rights revert back to the original owner, in which case Disney Marvel Studios would take repossession of that movie. What 20th Century Fox, obviously, they don't want to give that up because even though this movie has not done very well for them, the Fantastic Four movie franchise has made the studio money. And so from that perspective, giving away, I don't want to say the goose that laid the golden egg, but to give away a moneymaker for, you know, if they were to get it back, it'd probably be around $500 million is what Disney would have to pay for it. That doesn't take into account how much money they could make if they made three more sequels to this movie. They could have that money already. So it's kind of those weird things. My guess is that 20th Century Fox will wait until they see how the Sony Disney relationship goes and see how each partner plays with the Spider-Man franchise. And then 20th Century Fox will approach Disney and say, hey, can we do that where we get 60% of the cut and you guys just do whatever you want with our characters? Can we do that? I think that's probably the answer number three, the one that's probably most probable. Then that way everybody wins.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, then the only other thing is actually in a month from now, and I'll probably be sending you pictures, but
okay.
The PalmCon is
oh, sure.
up in about a month,
mm-hmm.
and that's always pretty cool. So they're kind of scouting a whole bunch of they're upping their game again this year or whatever. But it's really not, I mean, like I've said it before, but it's really, really nice because it's a small convention center. Has a lot of, I spend more money on original artwork and commissions and independent comics there than I spend on anything else.
Excellent.
I think a lot of one of the artists was there last year, and he actually was on Wayne's podcast
mm-hmm.
last year right before I went there, so it was really neat to kind of tie all that together and stuff. But yeah, we're getting ready for that. It's about a month, so I've already purchased my VIP ticket so I could go run around and do
excellent.
All kinds of craziness.
Yeah, it looks like they have a lot of people. I'm there on the website now. Looks like they have a lot of vendors and they have a lot of guests and special guests that are being announced. And so yeah, that looks pretty cool. It's taking place September 26th and 27th at the Palm Beach? Is it the public
light? Convention Center.
Okay, there you go. So look for that. Yeah, that's cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and they also have a really big indie film thing that they do there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of cool. So, but other than that, I'm happy it's Friday and happy to call in again and ready for the weekend.
All right, Nate. Thanks so much. Take care. And you have a great weekend as well. So it's always good to hear from Nate and everybody else. And you can be heard at 785-727-1939 or Steven_Schleicher. If you are on Skype and you don't want to pay that charge, I totally understand where you're coming from with that, because I don't like paying long distance charges either. And that's one of the nice things about Skype, unless, of course, you're calling from like Skype to phone or something like that. And of course, I don't believe Skype has the emergency services, which also plays somewhat of a problem in using that as your substitute phone line. We actually still have a regular phone line here. The same reason why we have cable is that our local conglomerate gives you a fairly steep discount if you keep a landline, your cable, and your internet all combined into one. And so that gives us, gives us something like a 25% discount over any one of those items by themselves. So we just do that. And plus, when we call up to order some food from the restaurant or something, it's so much easier for them to look up our number and our address that way. So, all right. 785-727-1939. That's the number that you want to call. And what else? Oh, Nate was talking about some television shows. And I am wondering what shows should I be watching right now? I'm wrapped up with Ballers and the second season of True Detective on HBO. I just this afternoon watched the last episode, or I believe the last episode of The Brink, and I need something else to watch. I did watch a couple of episodes of Mr. Robot, but it was too much. It was too much Fight Club for me to really enjoy it for a long term. I think if they would have gotten to the point about 4 episodes in instead of 8 episodes in, I would have liked it a lot more. So I don't know if I'll go back and watch the rest of Mr. Robot, but I'm looking for something else to watch during this time as we wait for the fall season to start up. So while we're waiting for your answer, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who is this?
This is Matthew.
Hey, Matthew, how are you?
Oh, not too bad.
Where are you calling from today?
From Lincoln, Nebraska.
Hey, Lincoln, Nebraska. How are you doing up there? What's on your mind today?
Oh, not too bad. I seen you were showing the Batman Flux, and the there's a promo that I thought I would let you know about for that
okay.
game.
Okay.
It is a Two-Face card,
mm-hmm.
and it also comes with a coin.
Oh, does it? Because I thought that there was a Two-Face card in here already. Yeah, there is a Two-Face card. But you're saying there's a promo card out there that has a coin on it. Now, what does the coin play into the game at all?
It does. The Two-Face card is an action card. It's called Two-Face Flip, and you know, like the action card, you play them and they do whatever they do.
Uh-huh.
but it gives you a coin to flip. It comes in a, the whole promo setup comes in a game trade magazine.
Oh, okay.
Which I don't know if your Hastings would carry something like that, but I bet your game store would probably be able to get a hold of something like that.
Well, they probably would be able to get a hold of it. I know they don't carry it. They don't. They carry a lot of Magic stuff and some Pokemon and model kit, not model kit, but you know, the Warhammer type things. But they don't carry magazines. So, but I'll look at our Hastings. It's, what was the name of the magazine?
Game Trade magazine.
Game Trade. I'll go and look here tomorrow.
Issue 185.
Okay, I will look for it and see, because I would like to check that out. I'm all about getting some of those bonus promo cards. I know fans have sent us a lot of the stuff from Munchkin, and we try to get our hands on that to incorporate into play as well. So getting my hand on a sure. Two-Face card would be certainly great.
And then I was curious about, how do you guys pick the games that you play on the Munchkin land?
Well, first it's always going to be Munchkin if there's a new version of Munchkin. And I just got in Star Munchkin 3 Wednesday. So we'll be playing that on an upcoming game. But then it's just a matter of, what are we interested in and what do we have access to? Or in the case of the old gamer, I forget what his handle is, sent us the Sentinels of the Multiverse. That's how we started playing that. And then, of course, we've got Legendary. We've got the DC Deck Builder game, which is coming up. And then we've got Dice Masters, which we've got at least a 3 or 4 video series coming up on our YouTube channel very soon on that. So that's kind of how it falls out, just what we have access to, what we're interested in playing, that kind of stuff. Certainly, Brad Will has a bamillion different games that we could play anytime we wanted to. And we do take suggestions, and I appreciate that people do send them in. And if it's something on our list, then we can certainly look at it.
Sure. Yeah, I was the guy at Nerd Tycoon who bought all the games.
Okay. Yeah. You did great on the panel, and I don't have your picture here. Let me look and see if I can find that picture really quick. Because you sent that picture to me of your game table, and I want everybody to take a look and see how big that was. But yeah, that basically is how it comes out, is what we have access to and everything. And I think my mail program just crashed. So that happens a lot. So what is your favorite game of the week this week?
Oh, well, there's one. I actually took it to Nerdtacular, and I didn't get a chance to play it because it was a pre-order that got filled in and sent to me like the day before I left on the road.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Ashes Rise of the Phoenixborn.
Oh, okay.
It's by Plaid Hat Games, and the game is by Isaac Vega, who, and that whole group of people helped do Dead of Winter, which I know mm-hmm. Brian has a copy, and they tried to play it there at Nerdtacular, and it's a long game, and it's one of those that takes a bit to get going. But the Ashes is, it's kind of like Magic the Gathering a little bit. You have a deck that's pre-built, but mm-hmm. instead of having the lands, you have dice. That's your resources. So you roll these dice that have different symbols on them and stuff. You have your little, your plane, or it's sort of like a planeswalker in Magic, but it's your Phoenixborn, and that's who you are.
Right.
And your deck works against that. And you can play up to 4 people, like teams or free for all.
Oh, cool.
And it works really good with all the different stuff. And it's set up to be not so much like Magic, where I don't know if you know how much those guys actually spend on all those cards.
Oh, I do know that they'll, I mean, I don't know for exact amounts, but I know that they drop lots of money quite often to compete against one another. And of course, Rob plays competitively. He goes and does the tournaments and all that stuff. So,
sure.
Yeah, that
there's money to be made in that if you're good, but it's
mm-hmm.
considerably hard.
Yeah,
but a lot of the new format for some of these games is like an expandable card game where you know mm-hmm. what you're going to be getting. So when the next packs of cards come out for these, it's kind of nice to know what's there. If you want it, you can buy it, and if you don't, you don't have to.
Right.
And it's kind of fun. The art is really good in this too. I don't know if you remember Dan talking on TMS about Abyss having really good art.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That one, I think, in most of the board game shows, won for Art of the Year. Ashes has just come out and is already the number one contender for Art of the Year.
Wow, cool. Well, I'll have to definitely check that out. I'm showing right now this picture, and I don't think you have all of your games out yet, but those are just the games that Matt had brought to Nerdtacular, and that is a massive amount of games. And I don't know, do you know if all of the games got played, or were there ones that you noticed that people didn't play?
There were some that didn't. The one that Jeff Cannata, well, the two that he mentioned, Caverna and Lahav, I had brought Lahav, and I had brought the game previous to Caverna, which is called Agricola, and those
were really heavy. Yeah.
And it wasn't likely that they were going to get played.
But just in case.
But I bet maybe half of them. I mean, there was 97 games.
Wow. Wow.
That I had brought. And I bet half got played.
Well, that's good. I mean,
which is pretty good.
Just looking at your,
I bring them.
Yeah, just looking at the picture, I see a Sentinels of the Multiverse, which is cool. Smash Up, which I love playing. There's something about Smash Up that I just love the heck out of, and I don't know what it is about that, but
it's silly.
It definitely is that. It is that, and I can't wait. We do have the Munchkin expansion now that I want to throw in there, and then. There are just too many games that I'm really impressed with the Dice Tower guys. I wish we had the time to do that, because we could have a different game or series of games every day, and we still would not run out of games to play on that show. There's just so much to get to, and I wish we had the time and the funds to do all that. And then, of course, just time to go and have fun with stuff. A lot of games are out there. So.
Yeah, next week I have a game day I have to go to. And then in 2 weeks I have a convention I have to go to where I go and show off a few games and things, which is always kind of fun.
Oh, that's cool. What are you going to show off?
To teach people. I'm not sure. I'll probably show off the Dead of Winter, which is always a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
It's still... Mm-hmm. relatively new and people haven't seen it. And then I have another game that is similar to the Wrath of Ashardalon stuff that you had run on the show.
Right.
Only instead of being Dungeons and Dragons, it's an RPG where everybody is a mouse.
Oh, cool. Now that sounds neat. It's called what? Mice and Mystics?
Mice and Mystics.
And now that sounds cool.
It's geared to be kind of like a youngster's beginner RPG kind of a game, because it's not, you know, dragons and vampires and drow. It's everybody's a little mouse, and you know, you can be a healer and a fighter, kind of a mouse or a magic user or whatever, and then you run around fighting spiders and roaches.
Oh, now that sounds cool. Now this has nothing to do with Mouse Guard or anything, right? It's nothing related to that comic book series.
It is not. There is actually a Mouse Guard game, I believe, that was at Nerdtacular that a guy brought. And it was pretty fun, but more of an abstract game. This one is it has a campaign to it, and it's a story.
Mm-hmm.
Like a story that you could read to your kids at bed, you know.
Oh, cool.
The evil witch who is taking over the castle. So in order to escape from the prison, the magic user turned everybody into a mouse. And so now the story is you're escaping from the prison cell through the kitchen tunnels out to the courtyard to go try to find whoever, you know, and then there's story breaks. It actually was on Tabletop.
Okay.
Last week and this week is a two-parter.
Now this is so I'm looking at some of the images for Mice and Mystics and it looks pretty cool. The miniatures look cool.
That one is also a plaid hat game, not to just necessarily like toot their horn, but boy, they're, that's a pretty solid company with their a dozen games or whatever.
Wow, neat. And so where are you going to be demoing the games at?
The convention that I have coming up is in Sioux City, Iowa.
Okay.
And then next month will be one in Omaha.
Okay. And what is it, just an Omaha gaming convention?
Tricon is what Sioux City is called.
Okay.
There's a tri-state. Sioux City's in three states.
Sure.
And then the Omaha one is called NukeCon.
NukeCon.
Pretty established. It's been around about 25 years or so.
Okay. And then, interesting.
There's a lot of local cons that like a lot of the guys will go to Gen Con, which is 60,000 people or whatever.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine even trying to find a game and get it played.
Oh, yeah. That was, I mean, I did that interview with Brad Will this last week on Munchkinland, and that was the thing that he said it was kind of easy to find games to play, but he was kind of disappointed that there were tables that you, that they were renting out the space for the tables instead of just setting up free tables for people to play. So,
The local con, if anybody ever wants to like get into board gaming, is definitely look up and see if there's any local board game conventions, because it's small, it's personal. These are the people that if you wanted to get into a gaming group, that's who you're going to game with.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely, definitely. NewCon looks like it's a lot of fun. I'll have to talk to Rob and see if he's ever been to that, because he's from Nebraska, and he may have gone to one of those in the past.
Possibly. I know that there's some anime convention in up in Omaha. Or something like that. There's some anime stuff that I don't know. Seems like he might kind of be into anime, maybe.
Maybe a little bit. I don't know.
Kind of stuff a little.
I know he's way into games. That's his main drive, I think, is tabletop games, Magic, whatever is hot at the moment. He and Brian both. I mean, they're both super into board games.
Yeah, I was with me and Joe, who was on the show last week, talking about the legendary game that we was with Rob, and I played in that as well.
Oh, cool. Excellent.
Joe had a spectacular deck built, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
And Rob had a spectacular deck, and it was legendary. My deck was horrible.
I think it just depends on how you...
So bad.
I think it depends. I mean, I don't know what your tactic is for playing legendary, but I mean, for me, it seems like try to build up my most powerful characters as quickly as I can, even if it means letting a few bad guys escape, just so that I can roll them all out at once and then just pound the main villain as often as I can.
Yeah, that's a pretty good strategy. Some of it is when you, like a lot of other deck builders, you kind of pick up different strategies.
When you
play DC Deck Builder, there's a slightly different strategy. Or if you play Ascension, which is Dan's favorite game of all time.
I'm looking forward to playing the DC Deck Builder game. We've got all of them here. I just haven't had a chance to play with it yet because everyone was like, oh, I don't know if that one doesn't sound as interesting as Legendary or Sentinels of the Multiverse, but I'd already had them all. And so now we just need to sit down and play it. So I think you're going to like
board games.
Yeah, I think you're going to like what we do with that. No, go ahead.
That's the thing about like the Legendary and the DC. A lot of them got kind of hit. Legendary got kind of hit on a little bit because of the art in the original core set. Every hero is the same art.
Right.
It's good art. It's from the, from the comics and stuff. But when you look at some of the expansions, they change it up a little bit, and it's all good art. It's nice. The DC theme was where they got hit a little bit. When you're Wonder Woman, who I think is one of the, her hero is actually really good.
Right.
And her little mini card that's in there is that's my favorite card in the whole game.
Oh, cool.
You play it, and if the whole lineup is full of red cards, you basically scoop up the whole line with one for free.
Oh, cool. That does sound cool.
I mean, they really beefed her up.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. But you're a superhero with a handful of villains. Kind of. You really have to suspend your belief a little bit.
Well, and that's
superheroes. So what are you gonna do?
Yeah, and that's kind of the problem too with any of the versions of Dice Masters, where you can mix heroes and villains together to create the best dice set that you can. I'm all for it. I'm willing to check things out and try things out and see if I like them or not. I think I'm gonna like this DC Deck Builder.
It's pretty nice. It runs really smooth, and it's pretty easy to pick up. And then there's all kinds of strategies that you can try out. And if you do want a good thematic heroes versus villains, Crisis.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Crisis decks make it. It becomes a full cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
And when you beat up a villain that you don't get to keep it, it just goes away.
Goes away. Cool. Cool.
And there's some other stuff that becomes a little more tricky, but yeah, more games.
More games, always more games. How many games do you think you have in your collection? I mean, you said you brought 97 of them with you to Nerdtacular. How many do you think you own altogether?
500.
500, holy cow. That's a lot.
Ish.
Oh, man. All right, man. Well, thanks for calling in. And do call in again. We'll talk more games real soon, okay?
Sure.
All right. Take care. Have a good weekend. Bye.
All right, thanks. Bye.
I was going to say, I think you guys are going to like what we're going to do with our video Munchkin Land episodes that we do. Like I said, we've got Dice Masters coming up, and it's first game is my son and myself playing against each other with DC. You kind of, if you listen to our VIP gold chat this past week, then you kind of know the outcome of that. But my son plays Dice Masters like you wouldn't believe. He really understands that game and will roll over you. And then Rob and Brian will play an episode of Marvel, and it's mixed Marvel, however they want to make that. And then the winner of that, of those two games, will face off against one another, and we're going to do a blind, a tournament style of Age of Ultron, where I've got the big box of 60, the Gravity Fall booster packs. We're going to open those up, build our teams, and then have the winners of each one of those games go up against one another for the final game. And then we've got some other stuff to go into that. And as I get more comfortable with getting our camera set up and everything in the room, more of our board game stuff will move over to the video side. And I would love for us to be able to do every Munchkin Land episode as a video episode. So be on the lookout for that. Those are things that we're doing because of our VIP members. And again, if you would like to help us out and become part of our inner circle of really cool people, then just point your browser to members.majorspoilers.com. That is our VIP site, where not only do you get access to this monthly live chat, but we've got character sheets up there for the characters from Critical Hit. We've got original art up there. We've got behind the scenes stuff that's always going on. We've got the Flashback podcast, which is only for our bronze level and higher VIPs that Matthew and I are getting geared up to do for the next season. It's really a lot of fun, and I thank all of our VIPs for making that happen. And I hope that more of you become that in the future. There is some Dice Masters news. I think I may have accidentally closed. No, here we go. Some Dice Masters news. If you like Dice Masters, and it looked like a lot of you were very interested in that at Nerdtacular, but WizKids has just announced a brand new set that's coming out in March called Superman Batman, and it's going to focus on an allies combination. See, it says here it'll introduce a new game mechanic, the allies keyword, as well as Iron Will and Vengeance abilities. Over 30 heroes and villains make up the new card and dice for this expansion. DC Dice Master Superman Batman starter set will include Superman, Batman, Power Girl, and a lot more. That one will sell for $19.99. And then, of course, they'll have foil packs as well that includes Lois Lane, Nightwing, Batgirl, and villains that are usually held in Arkham Asylum. And those are usually, 99 cents or something for those booster packs. Then they have the collector's box, which I'm probably not going to buy any more of the collector's boxes. Those are $25. They hold 300 dice. And to be honest, my DC one is completely filled up with dice to where I'm giving them to my son, all the spillovers, and saying, here you go. Those are $25. And then, of course, they have the play mats, which are $19, which I would recommend getting a play mat for your dice set if you haven't got it. And then they have some new dice bags that will be coming out as well. That will come out in March, and that follows the DC Dice Masters War of Light expansion set, which comes out next month on September 16th. I'll be getting those. We'll get the Gravity Well and all that stuff. In fact, the Dice Masters will probably come out about the same time that we're in the middle of our Dice Masters tournament. So look for that. I know in an upcoming month, probably our October VIP Gold Chat, we'll be doing another Magic game between Rodrigo and Rob, because nobody else likes to play or wants to play. Although I'm contemplating having, I think probably it will, we may switch that up and make it a Pokemon one, where Rob tries to redeem his title and take it, take the championship back away from my son, who beat him resoundingly the first time that they played. So, we've got a few more minutes left. 785-727-1939. Do give me a call. Love to talk with you. Thank you, Matt, for calling in. That was a great conversation there. Yes, Jarmo, you are in the circle of really cool people. If you are a VIP. So there you go. Let's see. What else do we have? Teen Titans is a fun mechanic with ongoing cards, which would be cool. And I understand that the War of Light Dice Master set actually has a Teen Titans component to it. So I'll be looking forward to that. Let's see. People play Warhammer, Teen Titans. Oh, they're talking about the Teen Titans DC deck building game. And a lot more. So, yep, if you're a VIP, you are a cool person. And even if you're not or you can't, we still think highly of you anyway. So there you go. Your turn to call. I know that there was somebody else who was trying to call in a few minutes ago. Now would be the perfect time to call in before we just end this show early. I do have to go here in a few minutes, though, because it is Friday and my kids are at school and my wife has not messaged me to say that she can pick them up. So I will go get those kids after their first full week of school. Liking it a lot, they say. A lot of homework already. First spelling test today, so we'll see how well that goes. And we will see how the reading goes this weekend. I think Star Wars will be that treat that they get for doing their homework and everything else that needs to be done this weekend. Funny story. Real quick as we get out of here, as I'm looking at my mobile phone and I see a message that I purposefully missed yesterday from Phoenix, Arizona. If you don't know, GoDaddy is located in Phoenix, Arizona. If you've been following Major Spoilers for any length of time, you know that in November, I had finally had enough of GoDaddy. And you can go back and listen and watch those shows where I basically let my feelings be known about everything with GoDaddy. And of course, now we have Rackspace, and Rackspace is fantastic. I don't know if anybody noticed this. You probably didn't. But a couple of times yesterday, the site really ground to a halt within a half hour of one another. Two events happened, and this was early in the morning. But I called up Rackspace, and I was like, you know, this has happened twice now today. I don't know if there's something going on. The tech was there, one of our Linux support team people. And he was like, well, I don't see anything right now, but I'll look into it and I'll let you know if anything pops up, which, you know, coming from that scarred emotional experience of GoDaddy, I expected, oh, this is one of those blow off things when they don't want to do anything. But sure enough, like 6 hours later, Rackspace called me back and they're like, well, we looked into this. These are all the tests that we ran. These are all the things that we did. We're not seeing anything. We've set up some monitoring on this. And I was like jaw dropped, right? An hour later, my phone rings. Hi, this is GoDaddy. We're wondering if we could get you back. And I was just like, are you freaking kidding me? A sales call from GoDaddy wondering if I like the experience with GoDaddy and if I would like to up any of my accounts with them. Now, I still have my Steven Schleicher website with them, but it's just a simple $3 a month thing or whatever their basic thing is. But I couldn't believe the nerve of GoDaddy, especially they call now every 3 months wanting to know if they can get me back and if they're happy with the level of service that they're providing now with my little site, the site that I just kind of brush off and update like twice a year. And, the guy called up and he's like, yeah, I was just calling to check in with you. And I'm like, great, you did. Goodbye. Hung up on him. And then he called back like 2 minutes later and I just didn't answer the phone. But just the nerve of GoDaddy. And you would think that there would be a big warning sign every time they clicked on my name that says, do not call this customer. Do not call this person. Extremely angry at us because we're a bunch of screw ups. Do not call. And yet they continue to screw up. But I thought I'd share that with you because I just find it somewhat humorous. On this Friday. And I think that's it. I think we are out of time this week. Thank you, everybody, for calling. I love the discussions, Matthew. And again, here's another shot of the games, the 97 games that he brought to the show. So much fun, so much stuff that's out there to be played. I hope you get to play a game this weekend. You know what? Over on the podcast posting page at majorspoilers.com, why don't you share your list of favorite board games that you like to play? Not video games. They could be RPG board games. They can be role-playing games. They can be whatever. Not video games. But why don't you share with us some of your favorite tabletop games on the podcast posting page of this episode. You can find a link there in your show notes. And I'd like to see what that is. We'll share some of them next week on this show. Get some of you to call in and talk about some of those. But until next week, stay safe, have fun, do something cool this weekend, play a game, watch Star Wars, whatever it may be. Take care, and we'll see you next time when it's finally Friday.